No one really knows Ron Van Dam. He's an enigma wrapped in a mystery, cloaked in secrets, stuffed in between two pieces of French toast encased in a pancake, smothered in cheese and deep fried until golden brown, then duct taped into a rusty toolbox, packed into a used Amazon shipping container with gaffer's tape, and mailed overnight to a bunker in Siberia where it's kept in a locked vault, whose combination is known only to a mute priest with a bad memory. So yeah, he's sort of a keeps-to-himself kind of guy. You're listening to that man of mystery, Ron Van Dam, on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, sure, why?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Why? Why are you doing this? Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Thanks for being there. Too much. Too much talking too fast. How are you? Good to be with you. Hey, I don't know what day of the week. It's Friday? Seriously? Wow. It doesn't look like it. Do you know what most Americans suffer from more than anything else? It's allergies. I can't believe how many people I'm running into with allergies. Yeah, when I meet somebody, hi, my name is Ron. Hi, my name is Bob. I have allergies. It comes up immediately. Do you know why? Because everybody's coughing and sneezing and scratching and everybody's doing it. And you think, oh my God, everybody has COVID. No, it's not COVID. It's allergies. It's awful. You know those masks that we wore during the COVID years? Probably not a bad idea right now. I know you can't catch allergies, but it seems like you should be able to. Because everybody's got it. Why does everybody have it all of a sudden? Everybody's got it all of a sudden. Everybody. And this is the time of year where the allergies really kick up. And it's and then in the middle of the summer, it's time of year where allergies really kick up. And then in the fall, that's the worst time of year for allergies. You have one small window of not having allergy suffering, and that's like 2 days before Christmas and 3 days after. Other than that, we all always have allergies. It is what binds us together as a human factor in civilization. If you don't get along with somebody, your bonding is the fact that you have allergies. Oh, I like Trump. I hate Trump. Yes, but we all have allergies. That's true, Ron. That's true. We all, come here, give me a hug. Yeah, that's what bonds us and binds us together. Anyway, fine. But that's not the only thing. We all brush our teeth. Well, except for you guys. You in the corner, you really should brush your teeth. But we all do it. That binds us together. We're all human beings. We all have to brush our teeth. We all have to go to the dentist. I don't. Can't stand the dentist. Bothers me. I talk about this frequently. I have dreams about my dentist. I'm having a good time. Or maybe even having a sexual encounter in my dreams. Suddenly there's a tap on my shoulder in the dream. It's my dentist telling me to floss. Get out of my dream. What are you doing? It's bad enough that you hound me every 6 months. I get a call from my dentist every 6 months. It's not even my dentist. It's his people. He has people. It's a guy. They call me, Mr. Van Dam. Yes. Uh-oh, you called me Mr. Van Dam, but I paid my taxes. No, sir. This is Dr. Denton's office. We're calling to set up your 6 month scrape the hell out of your teeth appointment. Please leave me alone. What have I done to you? Please leave me alone. I feel like going to court and requesting a restraining order against my dentist. He won't leave me alone. He won't leave me alone. He keeps calling and trying to make appointments with me. It's like he's trying to sell me solar energy or that leaf guard system. Leave me alone. Just because you have my phone number doesn't mean you can call me and make a dental appointment. You can't do that. And then you can't call me the day after the dental appointment and say, excuse me, you didn't show up for your dental appointment. You didn't tell me I had one. We don't have to tell you. It's a dental appointment. Now, next time, Mr. Van Dam, we're going to charge you if you don't show up. You can't do that. You can't charge me. If you didn't perform any dental work, if you didn't perform anything, if you didn't do any work on my teeth, you can't charge me just because you made up an appointment and then told me I didn't show up. No, no. I will sue your ass. I will sue your ass in civil court to the tune of $5 million because that seems to be the amount that everybody sues for these days. Leave me alone. These dentists, man, they're walking around thinking that they own the mouth of every single American. Anyway, thank you for letting me say that and get it off my chest or get it off my teeth. I don't know which one it is. Anyway, yesterday, by the way, this show is about things that bother all of us, but nobody has the balls to talk about it because there are more important things to talk about. That's what I do. Anyway, I went to the supermarket yesterday. I go to the supermarket frequently because I never know from day to day what I want for dinner. So I actually go to what I consider to be my Disney World, which is a supermarket, because when you walk in, there are like zillions of foods to eat. Zillions of possibilities, zillions of recipes to be created with these stocked shelves of edible items. And then there's a whole slew of cashiers just waiting to help you pay for it. Anyway, so I'm at the I have like about 7-8 items, and I'm going to the express lane, which is an oxymoron. An express lane to to go to the register to pay for the food that you have in your shopping cart. There's no such thing as express in that particular language. So there's one woman in front of me. I don't think she can speak English, but that's besides the point. It has nothing to do with this, really. She's there. She has like a lot. She has more than it's supposed to be 10 items or less. She's got 17,000 items. Somehow they let her in because there was no one else around at the time. I'm the next person in line. I've put all the stuff on the conveyor belt, you know, all my food that I want to buy. She's in front of me. She's already, all her items have been rung up. And she goes to put her credit card into the slot. By the way, you don't need to insert anymore. You can simply tap. I don't know what that means, but I said it. So she tries to tap. The tapping doesn't work. So the cashier says, please insert your card. She inserts it, and it doesn't work. Then the cashier says, well, then swipe your card. We're tapping. We're inserting, and we're swiping. Story of my sex life. She swipes, and it doesn't work. Now, the cashier is leaning over the little card machine and trying to figure it out herself. Apparently, the card is not working. The card is no good. But because of the language barrier, the customer doesn't understand what the hell's going on. Is it a debit? Is it a credit? Nobody knows what this card is. I think it's her driver's license. I don't know what card she's inserting, swiping, or tapping. These are all actions that are going nowhere for her. And here I am online waiting to get cashed out. And I'm in a little bit of a rush. A little bit. Enough of a rush to be frustrated. Should I take all my stuff and take it off the conveyor belt and put it back in the cart and go to another register? No, it's too much. It'll be resolved, Ron. Just slow down and calm down. So the cashier, she has this, there's a little light on a pole, and it blinks when she needs help. It's like a bat signal that is just totally absurd. So she flips this toggle switch, and the light on the top of the pole blinks. That means, come help me. We've got a problem here. Well, nobody comes over for 7 days. It seems like 7 days, but it's actually 7 seconds. Nobody comes over. Finally, somebody looks up and sees the bat signal and comes on over and turns off the flashing light. And it's the manager. They can't figure out this woman's card. They've already rung it up. What are they going to do? Are they going to confiscate her products, her ice cream and her milk and everything? I'm standing there, and the one thing that's going through my mind is this happens every time to me. No matter what lane I'm in at the supermarket, something happens at the person in front of me, and I have to just wait, and now I'm screwed. It's the same thing as when I'm driving on a highway, and you've got a slow person going on in the lane at the car in front of you. So you switch lanes, and as soon as you switch lanes, that lane slows down. How is this possible? How is this possible? It's the same thing. I never go to the checkout lane in a supermarket if the person in front of me is an elderly woman. And it sounds like, you know, I'm targeting certain types of people, because I am. It's the elderly women that pay in cash, and if it's like $50.23, they don't take out a $50 bill and a dollar. No, they have to go through their change purse for the 23 cents. First of all, I haven't seen a change purse since 1972. It's unbelievable. They take the change purse out, and as soon as they do, you can see the eye roll in my head from across the street. Oh, no. Why me? And this elderly, it's always a woman. Men don't carry change purses. They're just as bad, but they don't have it in a change purse. They have their coins in their pants pocket. So now for an hour, I'm watching an elderly man grope himself in his pants pocket to find 23 cents. And it can't be a quarter. No, that's too easy. We have to look for 2 dimes and 3 pennies. I don't know where they are, but they're somewhere in there. Let's stop the world from spinning and find the coinage. Oh, my God. You know, at the same time, I get it. I get it. It's just part of who you are, what generation you were brought up in, and what the rules and standards were, and you don't let go of them. I don't let go of them either. I really don't. I'm still writing checks to pay invoices and bills and things like that. I like the checks. They're pretty. They got my name on it. I feel important. I don't know. You know, the younger generation, they're not writing checks. They don't even know what checks are. They just take out a piece of plastic and they're tapping and swiping and inserting. It's crazy. It's just crazy. You know the one place, the only place where they still use cash? The stage at a strip club. They have not caught up, apparently. I wouldn't know. By the way, I wouldn't know. But they have not caught up, apparently, with human technology. Because when you get into, they said, do you need dollar bills? Well, of course. I mean, of course. Yeah. So it's dollar bills. You know, it's not, you should be able to swipe a card and in a strip club. I don't know where the swiping would take place. Actually, I do, but I don't know how that physically could be possible. What do you do? You go up to the stage and there's the dancer on the stage, and you take out your credit card and you tap one of her tits and ask how much you want to tip. Is that why hasn't that come up yet? Why hasn't there been some type of an electronic little device that goes over the bosom? And you take out your card and you tap it and then you put in the amount that you want to tip her. Why isn't that technology there? Or the swiping thing, even worse. Okay. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't go to those places. I've just heard about it from someone else who had allergies. Anyway, we have a couple of guests today that will astound you in every way, shape, and form.
Studies show that one in every eight Americans suffers from icky personal stuff, from the embarrassing to the grotesque, from the what is this to the oh my God, what is that? Chances are someone you know, or maybe even you, are dealing with icky personal stuff right now. But there is help. If you or someone you love has icky personal stuff happening, call the Icky Personal Stuff Hotline at 1-899-YOU. That's 1-899-399-9999. Talk with trained counselors who can assess and recommend help for whatever icky personal stuff you may be going through, no matter where it's coming from or what it looks or smells like. And don't worry and don't be embarrassed. Our non-judgmental icky personal stuff counselors are familiar with many of the more common and, frankly, uncommon things that can happen to various parts of the body. Seriously, these people have seen some unpleasant shit. Chunky things, oozy things, flaky things. This one guy who had fluids coming out of places most people don't even know they have. Fluids that his dog actually ran away from. Believe us, you may think you have it bad, but they've seen worse. Most likely. So don't wait until your icky personal stuff becomes tragic. And believe us, it does. Just ask a lady who basically fused to her living room couch and they had to use a blowtorch really carefully to melt whatever it was that was like caked between her and the couch, and it was coming out of this like hole the size of a half dollar, and it let out this high-pitched squeal when it came free of the fabric, like when you release a balloon real slow, that yeah, that happened. So before it happens to you, call the Icky Personal Stuff Hotline, 1-899-YOU. Call now, especially if there's like blue stuff on you. Like if you leave bread out too long, that color blue. Yeah, call today.
Lawrence Yuna joins us now. He's chief economist with the National Association of Realtors. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Everybody's talking about this, Lawrence. It's the housing market. They don't know what to make of it. It's bouncing all over the place. I guess this is keeping you busy.
Yes. So many moving parts. Mortgage rates are much, much higher now compared to just 1 year ago. Mm-hmm. At the same time, sales are down because of a higher mortgage rate. Yeah. But the multiple offers are still happening. Among those people who can still get mortgages, they want to buy a home. And as they are searching for property, lack of sufficient inventory is leading to multiple offers. Consequently, about one-third of the properties are being sold above list price in the current interesting market.
So I guess what you're saying is that houses are moving, but basically successfully when the buyers are either cash buyers or they don't have to deal with mortgage. I mean, then we get into multiple offers, but otherwise not. Is that accurate?
Well, it depends on the property type. Mm-hmm. On the upper end, it's sitting on the market for a longer period, and there is a possibility for price negotiation. Uh-huh. But on a starter home, there are many buyers, some coming with mortgages, others perhaps with cash. Uh-huh. And, of course, cash offer is much more attractive. But a person coming with mortgage may be willing to pay higher prices. So all this dynamic is at work, and certainly in the Boston region where the job creation has been consistently strong over the past 10 years, and then consequently is creating this housing demand.
Uh-huh. I find that a lot of my friends, because I'm in my close to senior years, we look to downsize. We look for ranches, first floor living, but still nice. There's a lot of us looking for it. And that's not so bad because those people would be cash buyers usually because they're downsizing. Are they still having trouble finding places?
So the inventory shortage is leading to some delays among the, say, the retirees or mm-hmm. people who want to downsize, look for the property. And, of course, they have substantial wealth gain by being a homeowner for so long period,
right.
especially in such a spectacular Boston region. But the lack of inventory is hindering some of the movement.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's talk about Nationwide because we're a nationwide program. So it's specific to various areas in the country. Is that correct?
Absolutely. One looks at the San Francisco market. Mm-hmm. It is down 15% in terms of home prices. It's much better bargain opportunity. In the middle of America, home prices are very stable, mm-hmm. very little movement, very steady. So it varies across the country. In the southern state with faster job creation, still notching up price gains consistently.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing here, Lawrence, is that those that are older and have been in the house game for a while know that when they were younger, mortgage interest rates were around 14-15%. And that was the norm. Younger generation looking for their first home, they thought everything was always going to be 2-5%, maybe 5 at the highest. So maybe that's a generational shock.
Yeah, you know, people have become used to that 3%
yeah.
mortgage rate, but those were exceptionally low
yes.
bonus rate.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's going to return to the level for the remainder of my lifetime. But talk to the parents, talk to the grandparents at what mortgage rate they got into the market,
mm-hmm.
and independent double-digit rate, they are enjoying their housing wealth. This mm-hmm. shows the long-term steady wealth accumulation potential that comes from home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And great thing about America, one can always refinance downward if the mortgage rates were to fall.
Interesting. Let me ask you another question, Lawrence. People used to move like they, you know, indiscriminately just because they saw something nicer. Now they're reticent to do so because of the prices involved, mortgage rates, et cetera. Is it still worth it to consider moving as opposed to perhaps renovating, which is also costly, maybe not so costly, but building supplies have gone up? This is a confusion for people as to what to do.
You know, it's a personal preference. Sometimes people do not want to put the labor into mm-hmm. renovation. They just want to have that extra bedroom for their new kid who came into the family.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's a changing life circumstance. Maybe the new job is on the different side of the town, and consequently mm-hmm. they want to reduce the commute time. Or say some people who are working in office, but they don't have to come every single day.
Yeah.
So now they can search for home in the next county where it's much more affordable.
Yeah.
So I think there are many options out there.
There are. And the point is a lot of people have to move for various reasons. So, you know.
American is a dynamic economy.
Yeah.
So the mm-hmm. dynamism shows the movement of the people.
Yep. Well, I wish we could talk longer because I could talk to you for a long time. You're very insightful. But is there a place to go where we can get more information about this?
Realtor.com. Fresh listings or home that has been listed for a long time where one can get a price discount, all that information on realtor.com.
Perfect. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you so much. Nayeli Treos joins us now. She's Director of Aquatics and Public Safety at the American Red Cross. We've all heard of that.
Right.
Yeah. It's that time of year where we talk about water safety because it's significant, isn't it?
It absolutely. I mean, the statistics are there, right, to support the water safety cause.
Yeah. What are some of those data facts that you're referring to?
So I don't know if your listeners know that drowning is the leading cause of death for children between the ages of 1 and 4. Not only that, you think about daily in the United States, there's about 11 drownings per day.
Wow.
So just think about the magnitude, right? Think of our communities, and we're really out here trying to spread the word and awareness of water safety.
Do most of these occur in the oceans or in our swimming pools?
So a lot of them are residential pool, which is why the American Red Cross developed the Circle of Drowning Prevention. And one of the things is make sure we don't give access to our children to unsupervised water. And people think automatically pools, lakes, rivers, but people don't think about bathtubs.
Oh.
They don't think about buckets with water, right?
Yeah.
So having active and constant supervision while kids are on water, I think is amazing.
A lot of this is common sense, isn't it?
I think we definitely want to educate folks because I think we have to model those behaviors so our children can see, like, hey, I'm wearing a life jacket if I'm on a boat.
Yeah.
I am swimming in a supervised area by a lifeguard and things like that.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about the private pools in homes. I know in many towns and cities you have to have a fence around the pool. But once you're inside the fence, I mean, all kinds of horrible things can still happen. Yeah.
I definitely did not catch that last part. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, within the confines of fences around pools, where it's mandatory in many cities and states to have the pool fenced in, once you're inside that fenced area, that can be incredibly dangerous as well.
Correct. And what we try to tell parents or caregivers is really have constant supervision, but not only constant, active supervision, right?
Yeah.
So put down the book, put down the magazine, put down the phone. You really should be focusing on children in, on, and around the water to prevent, you know, any incidents.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk about how to prepare a child in case horrible things happen. And I guess that's learning how to swim. How important is that?
Oh, it is incredibly important. And I think what we want to relate to parents and caregivers is not only about teaching them water safety, it's really about providing those advanced skills or continuing skills. So in the event they are to have an accident to fall into water, they know how to react, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that goes to the parents also knowing about water safety. So that's our primary message here today.
Yeah, I'm aware of many stories of adults, actually, you know, we're talking about children here, but many adults who go rafting and all that kind of stuff, and they just get very careless about it because they think they're adults, and, you know, we have search teams going out in the ocean for people, and boating accidents, et cetera. I mean, learning how to swim and wearing the proper paraphernalia is almost key, but, you know, I don't know, that's a problem too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not only key, right? Like, we have to model the behavior so our children see that.
It's
wearing your U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket and not saying, hey, I got this, I could do this. It's absolutely, you can't get too comfortable, right? Because that's when accidents do happen.
Yeah, let's talk about that because I think a lot of parents feel that if their kids are wearing water wings or some type of flotation device that they can be left alone because nothing's going to happen. Can things still happen even though they're wearing protective gear?
Absolutely. This is why we provide the layers of protection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to think about the water wings. It's not U.S. Coast Guard approved.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking at those life jackets that say U.S. Coast Guard approved, knowing that they fit correctly and properly, that they're the right size. Nothing replaces active and constant supervision by an adult, right? Yeah. And also swimming in areas that are protected by lifeguards. Those are all, again, layers of protection. Yeah. And actually just giving the education to the children, right? Like, should you go in the water if you can't see the bottom? Should you go in the water if there's no lifeguard? Should you go in the water if there's not an adult? It's just really modeling those behaviors.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in this day and age, both with swimming pools and even driving, we have a lot of distractions, and they come in the form of cell phones. And that's actually more of a challenge of distraction sometimes than a help. And I know that's a problem too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You put that phone down. The text message can wait. The Instagram post can wait. Yeah. Put the phone down. Have active and constant supervision. That is the main message here with water safety.
Now, you have a partnership between Sweet Frog and Red Cross. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. The American Red Cross is excited to announce our partnership with Sweet Frog. Sweet Frog and its customers are really at the forefront of really providing us with resources to help with water safety awareness, right, to bring that awareness. They're not also doing that, but they're also having a fundraiser for the American Red Cross from May 1st. Through August 15, where customers can go in, viewers can go in, listeners can go in and donate to the American Red Cross and our water safety cause. Not only that, but Sweet Frog is matching donations up to $10,000. And in the highlight of this partnership, they've developed a frozen yogurt flavor.
Well, there's a lot to find out about there. And the website, if you're into the websites, is sweetfrog.com/water safety seems kind of simple. And of course, you can always Google the American Red Cross and get all the information you need on any type of safety situation for water, everything. Thank you so much for your time today, Naomi. You've been a real help. We appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for helping us spread this message.
Great. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.